the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The holiness of God is not that he is well behaved or a goody two shoes. The holiness of God is this: that he alone is. That he alone lives and is life in himself, from all eternity to all eternity, in a permanent relationship of three persons, in the perfect unity of mutual love. The glory of this holy triune God is this: that for the sake of his own divine love, that love which he is, he willingly moves outside of himself to create and to give life to others whom he deals with by his grace. He grants them the freedom to live and to love, but then he also saves them from their rebellious sin and their self-imposed death by his own voluntary self-sacrifice. His almighty power and his divine glory are thus manifested and demonstrated in his self-sacrificing love for man. This divine glory of the one true God is manifested and exercised by his word and by his actions in and with and for his creation. Specifically, the glory of God is manifested and exercised by the Word of Christ, the Word made flesh. By his incarnation and his atonement, his becoming flesh and his reconciliation of the world to God. By his bloody cross and passion, and by his resurrection from the dead. By his gospel, the forgiveness of sins, by the church that he has established of disciples from all nations, and by his holy ministry, the ongoing preaching of his word, the forgiving of sins in his name, the giving of life. That is the glory of God. That is how you know and love the Holy Trinity. And this that God does, the manifestation of his glory, his work of salvation, this is the divine liturgy of the Holy Triune God. I know the word liturgy is used in lots of different ways in our day and age, sometimes with loving affection and sometimes with disdain. It is not used consistently, and frankly, it is often not used correctly. Here is the true liturgy, the work of God on behalf of men, the work of God by which he serves the people whom he created for the sake of love and whom he redeems for the sake of love. That is the divine liturgy of the Holy Triune God, the Father's giving of his Son by and with his Holy Spirit for the purpose and benefit of granting his own divine life and light and love to man, his creature, in the flesh, for both body and soul. It is this divine liturgy that forms the church and fills the church of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. This divine liturgy begins for you in the washing of water with the Word, in the new birth of water and the Holy Spirit, in your holy baptism. And that same holy sacrament of baptism is foundational to the church. It is the means by which you enter the kingdom of God within this holy Christian church. The divine liturgy culminates in the Holy Communion. I want you to take that to heart. Set aside the fact that for generations, indeed for centuries, the church did not comprehend this, if not in her doctrine, then certainly not in her practice. But the divine liturgy does culminate in the Holy Communion. That is where all that God does for you comes into clarity and focus, and not just as a matter of understanding, but as that work of God for your salvation, that work of God by which He gives Himself to you. For in the Holy Communion, God does give Himself to you in Christ the Son. By His word and by His actions, indeed with His own flesh and blood, and these, alive with the Holy Spirit of God, given to you for both your body and your soul for life everlasting. There in the Holy Communion, the Father loves you and gives you life as His own dear child and heir. He forgives your sins, and He gives you His life in place of your death. He shines His light in the midst of your darkness, and He grants you His love in the place of your selfishness and your lust. It is in this way that the Lord your God reigns as your king, not upon the throne of a dictator in a royal palace, but the throne of His cross, the cross of His own sacrifice in the midst of His temple. For here in the temple of His church, He serves you in love, with the priesthood of His atonements and the ministry of His gospel, the forgiveness of your sins. This is what it means for the train of His robe to fill the temple, for indeed it does. Everything about His church has been so arranged for this purpose, that your sins be forgiven and that you have the life of God in place of death. So does the train of His robe fill the temple. And in the royal priesthood of all His baptized faithful, in His Christian disciples from all nations, in all times and places, so does His glory fill the earth. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, north and south, east and west, the glory of God fills the earth because He has granted His gospel to people even to the ends of the earth. And so it is that also corresponding to His divine liturgy, there is the worship of God. It is for this worship of God that you are created, and to this worship of God that you are called by His grace, by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel. Well, what do we mean by worship? There are certainly as many ideas about worship as there is about liturgy, perhaps even more so. There is no man or woman that does not worship. The question is, which God do they worship and how do they go about it? Well, the worship of God, which is, as we shall confess in the Athanasian Creed, the holy Catholic faith, the true Christian religion, that worship is your Christian faith and life. Not a part of it. It is your Christian faith and life to worship God. This is your Christian priesthood, to worship Him. And what that means is to receive and to share the life and love of God, and to live in the light of His glory, in and with Christ Jesus, by His Holy Spirit. It is to speak as He speaks, to confess what is true, to say the same thing that God has said to you, to speak as He speaks by speaking His word, both to Him and to your neighbor. And it is to live with Him as He lives. To worship is to prostrate your heart before God in repentant faith, with fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. If there is not such worship of your heart, there is no true worship of the true God. But along with the prostration of your heart, The worship of God is also to prostrate your body and your life before Him and for your neighbor in love. This Christian faith and life, this true Catholic religion, is manifested and exercised, and it is lived in the worship of your words and actions, in the worship of your mouth and your body. It is in what you say with your lips and what you do with your body that you worship the Lord your God by faith and live in love toward Him and toward your neighbor, toward each other and toward your neighbors in the world. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you confess unto salvation, and your body also shall be raised unto the life everlasting. Therefore, your body also participates in your faith and the worship of the one true God, the Holy Trinity. So the pressing question is, how can this be? How can you worship God with your body of flesh and blood? For in your flesh, you have inherited the guilt and the mortality of your parents, your own mommy and daddy, your grandparents and great-grandparents, and all of your ancestors going back to your first parents, Adam and Eve. All of their guilt and all of their death, all of their sin and iniquity, their shame, their failure, their disobedience and rebellion, all of that is also yours. But it doesn't stop there. For to that deadly inheritance you also have added sin upon sin from your conception onward even to this very day. In your flesh you find nothing but sin and death, the vile stink of a rotting corpse, even in your whitewashed tomb. You are a man or woman or child of unclean lips. You have not spoken as you ought to speak, nor have you lived in your body and life as you ought to live. How then shall you worship the Holy Triune God with your mouth and with your body? How shall you take the holy body and precious blood of Christ, the Son of God, upon your unclean lips? How shall you eat and drink the Lord Himself, the Holy One, with mouth and lips and tongue that have cursed and lied and gossiped and borne false witness and profaned the name of God? How shall you ascend with your heart and mouth and body, with your thoughts, words, and actions unto God in heaven? And how shall you enter into His kingdom? How shall you come out of the night into the day, out of darkness into light, and out of death into the life of God? How shall you see God and know Him and yet live? Beloved of God, listen. The Word is near you. It is in your ears and in your mouth. It is in your heart and in your life. That is the word of faith, the word of forgiveness, which is preached to you in the name and stead of Christ your Savior. You could not ascend into heaven. You could not enter the kingdom of God. But He has come down from heaven to you. He has descended from the bosom of the Father to embrace you to Himself and to abide with you in love. He has become flesh. And there is no shame in that, for flesh is God's creation, but He has become flesh under all the curse and consequences of your sin and your death and your hell and damnation that you deserved by your rebellion and unbelief and idolatry and hatred. He has become flesh under that condition in order to love you right there and to atone for your sins and the sins of the world and to reconcile all flesh to God. And so in His own flesh and with His own blood, He has cleansed your flesh of sin. And He has set your flesh free from death. As He is lifted up in death upon the cross, He raises you up from death and the grave unto life with God, in both body and soul, both now and forever, by the forgiveness of all of your sins. You see, He is not simply a teacher sent from God. He is a teacher, a rabbi, He is indeed. He is a prophet and more than a prophet, but He is not only these things. And He is not merely some means to some other end. Jesus is not simply how you get to heaven or how you get to know God. But already in Him, in His person, and in His body of flesh and blood, like your own, God Himself has drawn near to you and dwells with you. And this He has done, not only once upon a time back there and then, but right here and now, He is still abiding with you in love. In the earthly things of His church and ministry, in His means of grace, He reveals and bestows the heavenly things of God. They are preached, and they are given, and they are poured out for you. If He spoke to you of heavenly things, you could not understand it. But He speaks to you by these earthly things, and in these things, He gives you heaven, and better than that, He gives you Himself, the one true God. In Him, God is your Father. In Him, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. In Christ, you live and abide in God Himself. As He has descended from the Father to you in love, so does He pour out His Holy Spirit upon you in peace. And so do you ascend in and with Him into heaven. It is in and with Him that your worship of God, the worship of your faith and life, the worship of your heart and mind, the worship of your body and soul, the worship of your words and actions is gladly received before the Father in heaven. He delights in this, your worship, because He delights in you for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the only begotten and well-beloved incarnate Son. That is how the Father loves you. Behold the burning coal with which He touches your lips from His altar of sacrifice, the body of Christ, which burns brightly with the Holy Spirit of God. This He places on your lips and on your tongue, not to condemn you or destroy you, but to cleanse you of all of your iniquity by the free and full forgiveness of all of your sins. As this body of Christ touches your lips, His word opens your mouth to receive that with which He feeds you and to praise and glorify Him, to glorify His holy name and give thanks to Him and to sing with all the hosts of heaven, the angels and archangels and all the saints. Already now your voice blends with theirs, and they echo through the temple of God in heaven. For truly God is here among men, among you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Yahweh Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of His glory. O come, let us worship Him in peace, because He has shown His mercy to us in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.